Welcome to From the Magazine, a podcast of Holiness Today, where you will hear from our authors and editors about everyday faith.
On today's episode, you will hear from regional directors Danny Gomez in Africa, Mark Lowe in Asia Pacific, Jim Ritchie in Eurasia, Carlos Sainz in Mesoamerica, Christian Sarmiento in South America, and Stan Reeder in USA Canada discuss worship on their regions.
When we think about worship, the first thing that comes to mind for all of us believers is singing. And one interesting thing is that when you are born and grew up in an environment where Christianity is a minority, there are many things that you learn about worship. For example, I remember going in one of the major group religions, and one thing that they don't do is to have the privilege of worshiping in their own language. And you know, we have a privilege, like Lamin Sane said, Jesus is the only who brought a major faith without imposing his own language. Because God wanted us to have genuine worship, genuine conversation with him. And that's first what worship is about. It's about a conversation through songs. And I remember one day sitting in a church here in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, with a friend who is from another country, not in Africa, and he was sitting there and we're watching the choir, and they were just singing and dancing. And he said something, that friend, that really stayed in my mind, and I heard it from someone else. He said, you know, these people, when they worship, their whole body is expressing that worship. And for me, that's exactly what worship is about. And the last verse of the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, the last verse says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that is why worship cannot be without joy, cannot be without energy, cannot be without commitment, cannot be without authenticity, being real. Because worship is the time when you are really who God is calling you to be. Worship is also a way of telling to God, telling with God your story at the time where you are, at the moment where you are. You know, sometimes people come to some churches in Africa or some other places, and they have those songs that people are repeating the same word, the same lyrics over and over again. Like, for example, my Lord is good, my Lord is good, my Lord is good. And people think, there is no depth in this song. But in reality, in many cultures, it's not about the number of words. They can say one word, but in that word, when they say my Lord is good on Sunday, after 1 week of hard labor, they come on Sunday, and when they say, my Lord is good, they are saying through those words to God all the things that he has done for them, all the things that they have gone through throughout the week. And like if they are like singing and telling him, oh Lord, hey, what a day, what a week, oh Lord, but you have been there and you have been good to me. So worship is also telling your story with God. And with mine, and that story should be your story. Just like, you know, the African writer said, it is important that she said, Adichie, her name is Adichie, she's from Nigeria. She said, stories matter. Many stories matter. Stories has been used to dispossess and to malign, but stories can also be used to empower and to humanize. Stories can break the dignity of a people, but stories can also repair that broken dignity. Yes. And God, when we tell him our story with him, he's restoring us. He is reconciling us with ourselves, with himself, and with those around us. May God help us to really understand what is the true meaning of worship. Just like Jesus said, the true worshipers, those that the Father seek, are those who worship in spirit and in truth. God bless you, and let's worship him. Praise the Lord.
Hello, friends. I bring you greetings from the Asia-Pacific region in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My name is Mark Lowe, and I have the privilege of serving as director of this amazing and diverse region that is home to 40% of the world's population, who speak over 2,000 of the world's languages, and contains all of the major religions. As I travel across the vastness of the region and observe the many shrines, temples, mosques, cathedrals, and church buildings, the words of Psalm 66, verse 4 come to mind. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. The tragedy of my observation, however, is the knowledge that most of these representations of worship are false and misguided. While they each represent a true desire to worship, they also remind me of the admonition given to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 27 through 29. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. William Temple reminds us that worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of the mind with his truth, the purifying of the imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of the will to his purpose, and all of this gathered up into adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable. As I travel amongst the many cultures of the region, these words of Temple have set the standard by which I observe the noun that defines worship and the verb that refers to the act of worship. This of all our nature and the integration of our life into the adoration and self-giving love describes a deep-rootedness of mind and soul in the love of God. A Christian anthropology is open-eyed about human sinfulness and open-hearted to the grace that renews, restores, enables, and recreates the image of God in us. Traveling across the Asia-Pacific region, I'm constantly reminded of the mercy and grace of God that redeems, reconciles, and even restores cultural symbols of worship into beautiful instruments of worship. Temple goes on to say, "And all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy of that self-centeredness, which is our original sin and the source of all actual sin. When we see the things of the old world stripped of their former representation and purpose, redeemed and incorporated in Christian worship and liturgy, we can truly celebrate the fact that he makes all things new. Then there will be no problems about the conch shell being used to call people to worship in the Pacific Islands, about Southeast Asian Christians holding their palms together in reverent prayer in a manner similar to the century-old practices of Buddhists, Taoists, and even Confucians to a certain extent, and the serving of potatoes instead of bread for Holy Communion in Papua New Guinea. While our commission is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations, a key part of that mission is that we demonstrate attractively, enact convincingly, perform persuasively, live credibly, and witness faithfully by worship, which results in a new and radical discipleship. So, my friends, allow me to echo the words of Psalm 95 and invite you to bring your redeemed cultural expressions of worship, that ye might know that you love him. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. May God bless you as you worship him in spirit and in truth.
It's a great joy for me to speak a little bit about the worship of God's people in the Church of the Nazarene in the region of Eurasia, the vast, varied, vibrant region that is my real honor and privilege to lead as regional director. I love worship. Worship is a great privilege and a high calling in the church. And my life, really, since I came to know Jesus some 40 plus years ago, worship was always something that was a great passion of mine. As a musician and a singer and a worship leader of many years, I love worship. I love the variety of worship and the passion in worship. I believe it's part of who we are as Christians, and particularly as Nazarenes. It connects so much with our identity. Christian people worship God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holiness people, by the Spirit's power, worship and connect with Jesus together, corporately and individually, from a heart of gratitude for the cross and for the righteousness and sanctification that we have through him. And missional people worship as part of their missionary endeavors, that people see there is something unique and authentic in us that also maybe draws people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we worship with passion. I'm in India right now, which is part of the incredible region that we have. And the vibrancy, just you'll see some scenes and people behind me of this place is amazing. And I've really had a great joy, along with Maggie, whilst we've been working here, to see how the people in India themselves actually worship. It's passionate, it's unique to them and to their culture. And yet, of course, it is for Jesus and by the Spirit and in honor of the Father. For me, worship is something that comes from a place of gratitude, but also a place of longing, desperation. It's joyous, it's deep, it's anointed. It's where we see, feel, and know the presence of God, and where some of his glory is revealed. I believe that in worship, people are healed, people are restored, people are transformed. In the last couple of years since I've been the regional director, I've managed to be part of worship services on most of my fields. Well, all of my fields digitally are online, but most of my fields in person. And it's very different, which is great. Sometimes hearing songs and instruments that I've never heard before in languages I've never heard before. Sometimes hearing songs that I know very well, but in a different language. It's been my privilege also to lead worship and sing and play in churches and amongst people that Maggie and I have been with. So I want to encourage you that God has been worshipped in every language, in every culture, by every people on our region. It's exciting, it's passionate, it's different, and I think it is so holy and such a blessing to God and to my heart to be part of that. So I pray that God will continue to move in great power on our region, in our church, and through our people, and the heart of worship will continue to be expressed by all the people of Eurasia. And it's a great joy for me and a privilege to be with them in worship and to be led by them and to lead them as we come together before God.
I give you a warm greeting, and I pray that God blesses you in this wonderful day that the Lord made, so you and I can rejoice and be happy, and we can be content. I want to share a passage from the scripture, and I think it is appropriate to the days that we are living. You will find it in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 34. After reaching, teaching to a great group of people and feeding the 5,000, Jesus wants to be alone. He wants to rest and retreat for a moment, and he sends his disciples to the other side of the sea. But before retreating to rest, he says goodbye, but at the same time, he listens to them. And this is a sign that God, Jesus, always has a personal relationship with us. He always has a listening ear to pay attention to our issues. Then he goes to the mountain to pray. It is important to realize as human beings, in our day-to-day, we need to rest physically and spiritually as well. And in his prayer time, he notices that his disciples, those he had sent, were experiencing hardship. God is always paying attention to his people. Don't you think, brothers and sisters, that all this is happening and God knows what is happening? God is always paying attention to his people. He gets close to them in their difficulty, even when the wind is against them. I traveled. Some time ago, and we had to undergo an emergency landing. And the explanation of the pilot was, friends, we need to descend because all through the trip, we have had headwind. The wind has been against us. And because of that, we have spent too much gasoline. There is more energy being spent. When we are experiencing difficulties, our response is that of fear. And when we are afraid, our senses get obscured and we don't respond in the best ways. We don't recognize familiar things. When they see Jesus, they think it is a ghost. It is even worse because ghosts cause a greater fear. We don't know how to deal with something that we don't understand. Distances seem to be greater, and we start to think that we will not make it out of this one. And every second that goes by, we lose our hope. In this passage, we see many things that are clear for us, his people. When we are amidst blessing, we need to keep our guard up. We always need to be close to God for what is to come. Second, Jesus promised that he would always be with us, and he will accomplish this. When Jesus sees them at a distance, and he realizes that they have been hit by the wind, Jesus comes to them. And the passage says that he was going to go ahead of them. This was to guide them, to show them the ways. Amidst our daily situations, God is always there. The promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our problems might obscure our senses, and we might be unable to recognize that it is God who's approaching us. We think about everything else, but not that God will take time to be with us amidst this problem. How many of us have wondered about where is God in this moment of difficulty? Where's God when so many adults that are older adults and children are dying because of this horrible illness? When so many people have lost their jobs? So many families have been broken, and you know, criminals are doing whatever they want, and God is coming near, and we don't recognize him. And we say, hey, it's a government or a candidate or maybe the Church of a Nazarene or anything else or any organization. But we need to rest assured that God has promised that he would be with us forever, even if the storm is great. But God always brings a word of comfort to us. Don't forget this. He said to them, take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I, the same who heals the sick, the same who fed the 5,000, not counting the 5,000 women and children. It is I who, since the beginning of the world, has taken care of creation, and that through my word, all things have been created, even you yourself. The same who has been with you in all their moments. How have you reacted to this world crisis? Our society and world economy might be doubting of the existence of God. Maybe they think that God is a ghost that can't reach our needs and that doesn't have the power or the will to be involved in them. When that word reaches us, we can do things that we could never imagine. If it is you, Lord, please may I go where you are. Do you remember Peter? Yes, and he walked on the water amidst a storm. But remember, we should never take our eyes off Jesus. He has the greatest power. If we take our sight off him and we start looking at the leaders, we start thinking about who did evil to me, and we start focusing on the things of this world, and the world starts usurping the place of godly things, our faith starts to falter, and we start to falter, and we sink. The Lord comes to the boat, and another miracle happens. The winds are calmed down. Do you want peace in this storm? Let Jesus come into your boat. Allow for him to come to your heart, and let him live in it. It does not mean that you will not have problems, and Christians need to understand this. But it does mean that in amidst all these things, we will be able to make it to the other side. What is the end of the journey? This is a question that you and I should answer immediately. I need to go to the place that he's preparing for me. And this allows us to live a thankful life, a life in victory, a life in constant worship for all the things that God does for us. It is my prayer that today you, brother and sister, depend on God, that you may have Jesus in your boat so that with him you can experience peace and tranquility in the storm. This morning, I want to pray for you, asking that God blesses you, prospers you, and that God helps you, that God pulls down of his Holy Spirit in your life in such a way that you may trust him. Lord in heaven, bless your people this morning, this day. Make it prosper, guide it so that they can all see you and know you and perceive your voice and feel your breath on their life. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And I said at the beginning, it's a joy for me, even from a distance, to be with you. I hope that God gives us the chance to see each other again and be together and hug each other and rejoice together. But until then, may you be with Christ. I'm far, but Jesus is with you. May God bless you richly.
In the 90s, I visited a church in the central mountain range of Colombia. It was a coffee community. I went with the church pastor, who today is the district superintendent. We ascended the mountain, ranged by mule for 3 hours. The trail we climbed was no more than a meter wide with precipices next to the road. A storm fell in the middle of the ascent that did not allow us to see. I was afraid. The pastor told me, the mules know the way very well. Fear not. The church community was made up of more than 30 people who were converted from being drunk traffickers and criminals. These people had not known any kind of church. They had no reference to what a worship service was. Their music did not correspond to the evangelical ecclesiastical tradition when the service began. They sang tunes from taverns with words of their own, in which they expressed their repentance for the evil they had done. As they sang, they went to the altar, prostrated in the ground, cried out, and they lamented, asking for God's mercy, to be grateful for their salvation. Worship is the act of our whole being in response to God's grace and mercy. Obedience is the basis of our worship. By obediently being radical to God's word, we demonstrate his love and character to a world that needs to see it. Our obedience is rational consecration and the basis of our worship. We demonstrate the expression of our obedience in our corporate act of worship wherever we are gathered. Today, our worship is traditional and by novel means that we continue to learn. Corporate worship is bathed in the South American region, in its social, cultural, and economic context. Our churches are multicultural, and multisocial stained glass in that way. We have countries with native people, mainly in Bolivia, Paraguay, Peru, and Ecuador, and in the jungle areas of our region with Andean and native music. The Caribbean and the tropical regions in Colombia and Venezuela present their adoration with a joy characteristic of the original music. We have small churches where a person with a guitar or a small electronic piano expresses the beating of God's heart to a growing group of believers. Our culture also reflects a stained glass window of instruments, from Paraguayan harps, Colombian accordions, the Venezuelan cuatro, Creole drums and guitar from Uruguay, Argentina, and Chile, and the typical and joyful Brazilian folklore. On the other hand, the great postmodern cities such as Sao Paulo, Lima, Bogota, Buenos Aires, Santiago, and all their large cities reflect the global fashionable music of Australia and the United States and the worship of the great Latin American churches and professional singer-songwriters who have crossed borders through groups of praise and contemporary worship. One of the main characteristics, which at the same time is a common denominator of our congregations, is that praise and worship in our services is directed by vibrant young people, dreamers and visionaries that God is raising up in every corner of our region. Our local churches today practice and rehearse through radical obedience, expressed and reflected in forms of contextual worship. For that day when we will all be united to the chorus of creation in Revelation, singing, "To him who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory, and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
Hi there. My name is Stan Reeder, and I'm the regional director for the USA and Canada. And I want to say a special thank you to Holiness Today for giving me the opportunity to speak for a few minutes on a very personal journey, the journey of worship for me. I suppose it began when I was a 9-year-old boy. I had just arrived at family camp at Cedardale, the camp facility for the Church Nazarene in Canada Central District. And as I was making my way over to the area where the kids were having a morning service, I ran into a dear friend of mine, Jeff Brocklebank, who was also headed that direction, and he was excited. It didn't take him long to tell me that he was going to be receiving that very day a beautiful praying hands pen. You remember what they were like if you're maybe over 50. They're a pretty gold pen with a little set of praying hands on the part that clips onto your shirt. And he explained to me that they were told earlier in the week that anybody who memorized Psalm 23 would get a pen. This seemed too good to be true, but as I watched it all unfold, Jeff went up to the front, quoted Psalm 23, and they handed him one of those beautiful pens. Well, I made it my mission that week to memorize Psalm 23, and I received my very own pen. As I look back now, I realize how valuable it was to me. Not the pen, it was lovely, but the memorization of Psalm 23. Fast forward with me, 35 years in my spiritual sojourn. I was a pastor of a large church, and it was taking a toll on me. I was exhausted and started to have some medical troubles and ended up in the hospital for a day and a half, 2 days, in a comatose state, a semi-comatose state. I could hear voices, but I couldn't move. And I couldn't open my eyes. I remember Pastor Lloyd, who is our pastoral care pastor on our staff, coming into the hospital room, and he was at my side, and he put his hand on my arm, and he was praying for me. I could hear his voice. I couldn't respond, except I felt a tear rolling out of my eye, down my temple. That big tear went around my ear to the back and dripped onto the pillow. It was in that season of being completely incapacitated that I had a very deep worship experience with the Lord. And it revolved around Psalm 23. For those hours, a day and a half or so, Psalm 23 just went through my spirit and my soul over and over again, a phrase at a time, and I experienced a deep communion with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was the word of the Lord that sustained me, that strengthened me, that made that a beautiful experience in a semi-comatose state in the hospital. And that helped me understand, that experience, the necessity of how important it would be for me personally to memorize the Word of God in my journey of worship. I think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on that law day and night. That one is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Everything they do prospers. You see, that condition of righteousness, of blessedness, is tied to the meditation on the Word of God day and night. I think that is getting close to the heart of worship. I got out of the hospital and continued in my ministry, and it was a time of tremendous stress, and I was waking up at night, and Psalm 1 came to my mind that maybe I could meditate. When I would wake up, I could meditate on His Word day and night, and I realized I needed to memorize more to have a deeper, fuller communion with the Lord, and so I began that process at that time of memorizing the Word. I think it's impossible to move into any kind of false worship when we're immersed in our worship in the truth of God's Word. It's not a new discovery for me, that's for sure. Many, many Christians over the years have discovered the centrality of God's Word and worship. I think of Martin Luther, and Luther went through a particularly dark time between 1527 and 1529, almost 500 years ago, and the plague had swept down upon Wittenberg. Just before that, his little six-month-old daughter, the apple of his eye, had passed away, and he was deep in grief, and then the plague came, and people in the parish were getting sick and were dying. And he himself became deathly ill. In his journal, he wrote, "I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain, and I still tremble. But through the prayers of the saints," he wrote, "God began to have mercy upon me and pull my soul from the inferno." He was sick. And it was through these experiences that the Lord inspired, "A mighty fortress is our God." But the hymn had been percolating for years in his heart. Because anytime Matthew Henry says, who wrote in the late 1600s, anytime that Martin Luther received bad news, he would gather his friends together and say, "Come, let us sing the 46th. It's the Psalm 46 that was the inspiration for his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." God is, the hymn goes, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper. He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal." It all was birthed in the beautiful Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still, and know that I am God, I will be exalted among the nations, among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you how many times I've woken in the night, been concerned about something, and the Lord starts to bring his word to wash over my being, over my heart, over my soul, over my mind, over my body. And I enter into a time of true and pure worship as I speak his truth and hear his word and experience his encouragement and strength and comfort and help to continue on. And I guess that's, for me, the deepest expression of worship that I know. Our singing today in our worship services corporately are just attempts, I think, to replicate the beauty of the original worship of the Psalms. And sometimes we do that very well in our worship singing, and sometimes not quite as well. But I think it's we do well as much as we connect with the truth and the spirit and the presence of the Lord that we can experience in the beauty of his word. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. If you've come this far with me on my journey, and I just want to encourage you to memorize, because it's only really in the memorization that I've been able to truly meditate upon his word day and night and experience wonderful times of communion and worship with my precious Lord. God bless you in your journey of worship.
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.